Welcome to SEC Sports Roundtable, Episode 70. Academics should be paying the athletic department. Recorded February 7th, 2013. Shane Bailey, Drew Young, and Blair Smiley discuss National Signing Day, the winners and losers. Drew tells Blair and Shane how he would run Tennessee athletics. They also take a look at last week's basketball action in the SEC. And what mid-February podcast would not be complete without some baseball talk? All this and more on this week's SEC SRT. And welcome to SEC Sports Roundtable. This is your host, Shane Bailey, back for episode number 70, it looks like, if my math is correct, for our roundtable. Have with me tonight Drew Young. Welcome, Drew.
What's up, Shiner?
Good day to be a Kentucky fan. We'll get into a little bit of that a little bit later. I know
it always circles back to Kentucky for you, doesn't it?
It is. You know, it's always the grass.
You need to be unbiased like me. I only report. I report just whatever the news is.
Just the facts, right?
Yep.
But the grass is always bluer in Kentucky.
Yeah.
And also with us tonight, Blair Smiley. Welcome, Blair.
It's good to be back, guys.
Well, glad to have you. I know it's been a couple weeks for you and about a week, not quite at 2 weeks for us for the roundtable. Trying to space it out a little bit longer in this lower season. We're not talking a lot of football, but I think there's a little football to talk now. So we're definitely right off the heels of National Letter of Intent Signing Day, which occurred yesterday. So we're going to talk a little football. I think most of our programs have something to be proud about in the SEC. And, you know, we'll talk a little basketball, I guess, towards the end as well, since we're right in the heart of SEC action as far as the basketball season goes. But, Blair, I'll let you just lead us off. You're the you and Drew probably are are the two I'm going to rely on most with all the names of the individuals. What happened down in Mississippi down there? Were you happy with the way Mississippi State ended up shaking out, or is it paled in comparison to the guys neighboring to you?
I'm really excited about what Mississippi State did, but I think if you are looking from a national standpoint, I think Ole Miss stole the day yesterday. I mean, they had a phenomenal class. And, you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, they've kind of gotten a lot of heat about it. And I'd like to hear what your views are with regards to it. But I think they had a little bit of luck on their side with regards to some inroads on, you know, the Kim Dichie with the brother being there, and then the Treadwell, which is the wide receiver out of Chicago. You know, Hugh Freeze was able to throw his best friend a scholarship last year, filling out his class, and it kind of gave him an inside track to him. And, you know, and I think what you're seeing is, you know, these all-star games and those types of things, if you've got an established player like a Kim Dichie that's been around on the recruiting scene for 2 years as the most dominant player in that class, you can pick up some steam. And Hugh Freeze and them did, I think, about as good a job as anybody can with, you know, I would say is their best class going down there. But I know that Mississippi was in the headlines there for the last 4 days with the Chris Houston. I mean, the kid from Houston, Mississippi, the Chris Jones defensive end that we were able to actually hang on. So I'm really excited with Mississippi State did to be consensus top 25 class with 21 commits or 21 signees, and being the top 25 again and second year in a row, I think it's been pretty solid. We've got some needs.
Yeah, I mean, Ole Miss gave it everything they had to get your boy out of Houston, and I guess it was just too strong, because you were talking about that just a couple weeks ago on the podcast. I mean, Mississippi State was looking at him well before, you know, his rankings were, what, barely a three-star when they first started putting eyes on him. And
yeah, you know, it's a very rare situation. And, Drew, I don't know if you followed it at all or really knew about it, but, you know, listening to Barton Simmons this week talk about him, you know, 6 months ago, nobody knew who he was. They had no tape on him. It's a strange situation where he moved. the summer before his junior year. And because he moved past the deadline, he only got to play six games. He was suspended for the first six games. So I guess nobody had any tape on him. They thought that his junior stats were a full season when he ideally only played half a season. So really, really strange for him to vault up, in 24/7 as the number two prospect. He's by far the highest rated player that Mississippi State's ever recruited and landed, and really, really a freak athlete. They're, hearing Barton Simmons talk about a kid that's 6'7", 260 pounds with a frame of a Julius Peppers gets your attention really quick. So he's a difference maker. And, for Ole Miss and Mississippi State to basically land the top three consensus national players is, kind of a rare deal. So it's kind of interesting from that standpoint, but I think some serious program changers, from that standpoint. So landing him made our class that much better, but it definitely held off the kind of the steam of what Ole Miss was doing there. And I think he was kind of caught up in that. And luckily for us, he stayed with us.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to know a lot more about it than I am. I saw Rivals shot him up the list. I mean, I think he was like 100 and something. I mean, even like they did rate him, and I think they had him as like a 4-star or something like that.
Yeah. But
he went from like 135 to the number 20 prospect in the country. So
yeah,
when you're talking about, top 20 or top 50 in the country, it doesn't matter what site you're talking about. You're a player. So yeah, I mean, he looks like the real deal. I mean, it's just hard. The tough thing about recruiting is, I mean, who would you say, if you're going to start a team in college football, who are you going to take? Johnny Manziel? I mean, that's who I'm looking at.
Yeah.
And he was a 3-star. And you look at his tape. I mean, I looked at his tape, his high school tape, and he looks good, but, you never know how somebody's going to work out. And I think you just have to do the best you can. And you kind of – it's almost like a spray and pray type method, but, the better athletes that you get. I mean, of course, if you're like a Alabama and you can get a bunch of 5-stars, more than likely a handful of them are going to turn out. So, I mean, that's all you really have to have when you're getting 5 or 6 of them every year. So,
I think the other thing that goes on here, guys, is really what the SEC did yesterday. I just look at it from a Mississippi State standpoint. You're a consensus top 25 class, and we are 9th or 10th in the SEC, pretty much across whatever scouting place you look. And so for a Kentucky, in one of the rankings, they're 28th, I believe, or something, 28th, 29th in the top 30 for the first time in a long time, and yeah, they're 13th. And so it just kind of, goes to show you that the SEC basically showed their power yesterday, really unlike any time they've done in the past.
Yeah,
I want to say in the West, five of the 7 teams were in the top 15, if I'm not mistaken, top 11 or something. So it's really, really dominant from that standpoint. And to put it in perspective, seeing a Twitter yesterday, a tweet yesterday that said that the Big 12 conference as a whole signed 12 top 300 players off of ESPN's top 300, Ole Miss signed 10. I mean, that's a mind-boggling number when you're talking about, I think 31 of the top 50 players on ESPN's top 50 are going to play in the SEC next year.
Well,
so it's just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Unless you were thinking about Tennessee, I mean, everybody picked an SEC school except for the guys that Tennessee was in at the end, and they, go to Michigan and Ohio State. So that's kind of the way it goes. I mean, it's so funny, though, and I'll turn this into Tennessee because that's what I always talk about. It's the greatest time to be in the SEC, and the boom – I mean, look who the boom's helping. Obviously, it's helping Alabama and Auburn and LSU and South Carolina and Georgia and Mississippi State and Ole Miss and Vanderbilt and Kentucky, even just in this recruiting, but not really Kentucky as much.
Easy.
There's one team really that's – on the crap list right now, and it's Tennessee. It's just unbelievable how everybody in the SEC is happy. Tennessee's got a number 20 or number 22, number 25 ranked class. You're ecstatic with that, and Tennessee fans like me, I feel like it's the worst thing that's ever happened.
Well, I think if you take a look, Drew, you know, I was just looking at this. You look at Alabama, they got it, and I'm looking at 24/7's composite ranking because I like to take that just because it encapsulates all of the recruiting sites. You know, Alabama signs 18 kids that are four-star or higher. LSU has 19 four-stars. You know, Texas A&M has 15 four-stars and up. It's just amazing. Georgia has 14 and up. And then you have Mississippi State, you know, that's got 5. And Ole Miss that's this year has 10, but normally they're going to be in that 5 range. South Carolina has 7. Tennessee has 4. And so it's one of those deals where I think Tennessee, you got to be frustrated as a Tennessee fan. Because basically Derek Dooley's staff laid down, and you got to be happy with the inroads that Jones made, but he just didn't have any time. But to get a Joshua Dobbs, I think it's going to be a great player. To get the wide receiver North,
yeah,
I think it's an impact player. But I mean, to miss the Bell kid and those guys, it's just tough, man, because
yeah, especially because I mean,
basically bank on everything being there the next year.
Because the night before signing day, I mean, around here in Nashville, Bell was basically going to Tennessee, and he decided, I guess, at the last second not to do that.
Well, I mean, that's
and that was a big Bruce that was Feldman a big steal out. Potentially.
It just shows you where Tennessee is right now. When you have guys like Bruce Feldman, who's a very reputable source, tweeting out that Tennessee signs Von Bell, and it didn't happen. I mean, that doesn't happen in other schools. I mean, that's just the way Tennessee's luck is right now. Is kind of what you feel like. But yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be tough right now. And the Bells are trying to blame this all on Dooley. They're putting it on him, saying he didn't recruit him, and he was late calling him and didn't communicate with him, which. On one hand, I understand that, and I guess if you're an 18-year-old kid, you want to get shown love for a long time. But who the hell cares what Dooley did to you when he's not the coach anymore? If you like Butch Jones, don't cop out on the old coach. The old coach is gone. Doesn't matter what Joker Phillips did or Derek Dooley did or Gene Chizik did. It matters what you feel like where you fit in with Gus Malzahn or Butch Jones or Stoops. I mean, it's just tough. I mean, you're dealing with 18-year-old kids, and yeah, why would you not go to Ohio State over Tennessee? I mean, that's the problem. Is Tennessee recruits against? They have to. Every battle is always going to be against an Ohio State or a USC or a Florida, because that's where they have to recruit. They they haven't got those borders around Tennessee where they're getting the what's the kid's name? We just talked about him, Jalen Ramsey, or the Christian Morris from Memphis or the Jordan Wilkins. I mean, there's a ton of talent in Tennessee this year. It's just the problem that these kids don't know Tennessee as a winning program. And you know, it really, if there's one team, I mean, if there's one team that's kind of hurting from the SEC being up so much, it's Tennessee, because, you know, they're about the same as they used to be. I mean, their schedule's so hard every year, and until they start winning games on the field, I just think it's going to be tough to win these recruiting battles.
Well, you talk about, how much Butch Jones is bringing to the Tennessee program, but if you look at rivals, it's just a gauge there. You know, in 11, you were 13th. In 12, you were 17th, and this year you're 20th. So, Butch Jones didn't provide that spark that you really needed, because you didn't need to lose any more ground in those rankings, I think.
Well, I think the other thing that you got to take into consideration is, I think you got to take into consideration that he had to make up a lot more ground than you normally have to do in a transition. I really believe that. But the other thing is that if you're Tennessee, if I'm a Tennessee fan, I basically go, I got to take the positive of the inroads that he made, the impact that he's putting on in the state, getting into Memphis, getting into Nashville, that Tennessee really hasn't done for the last 5 or 6 years. And if you look at the state of Tennessee, really, really good talent next year that's going to be on the board. You got to make your hay. And so you've got to have an Ole Miss type of class next year. You've got to have a program changing class where you come in and you get in that top eight. And Tennessee can do that because of the in-state talent that's in, out there next year and the kind of the high end. But you got to make sure that those guys actually get it done. And it's a little bit frustrating, I think. So I think the thing that kills Tennessee fans is Von Bell was a guy that you needed in the secondary. And you got nothing in the secondary. And that was a blatantly big weakness from last year with no speed, and you really didn't get any options there.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, I think it's one of those things, though. The tough thing is you look at these rankings, and if you go based – I think you're on to something there, Blair. If you really dig into it, Tennessee signed – they signed one running back that's still not even qualified yet, and they didn't sign a ton on the defensive line, and they didn't sign a ton in the secondary. I mean, they have a couple guys, but that was their weak spots. The problem with the rankings are, let's say Von Bell does commit to Tennessee, and let's say they get one other – let's say they got that running back. I mean, yeah, that's two guys, and they could help. But that would have taken Tennessee from number 20th to number 10.
14. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you gain so much, especially when Tennessee only signed 21. So I think.
Same thing in Mississippi State with regards to Mackenzie Alexander, you know, the five-star kid that ended up going to Clemson. He pulls a Mississippi State hat out, and nobody knew where he was going. You know, you get one five-star, it changes everything.
So, I mean, that's why I sit there and I think that – I mean, I think Tennessee's in the position now where they need to make a big move. And the chatter right now, of course, is what about like a Michael Dyer or Isaiah Crowell? You know, take a chance on one of those guys. And I don't necessarily think it's a bad idea. I mean, I don't know what you have to lose, really. I mean, getting a guy, especially like a Dyer, I mean, he'd come in and play right away.
It's going to be interesting. I hate to see I'd be frustrated as a Tennessee fan, especially with seeing the haul and the recruiting that happened this year. It's, you know, missing that one guy was big and critical. But I'm interested to see what they're going to do following that year. You know, kind of, you know, do they do what a Hugh Freeze did where he kind of came in and was able to fill out a class, but it wasn't really anything special, and then obviously worked a whole year.
Well, I think what you said earlier, Tennessee's got to have a big year next year, and they're already off to a pretty good start. They've got one or two guys committed already, and they've got – it's a weird situation. It's a big legacy class for Tennessee.
Yeah.
There's, you know, Bill Bates' son, and he's been to Tennessee a bunch, and you've got a Wharton kid whose, you know, uncle played basketball there, and Todd Kelly Jr. is a big name player. Eric Berry's two brothers, you know, are – on the radar, and I know they're not as highly ranked as Eric Berry was, but I can assure you, man, those kids will be able to play. I mean, they got in their blood, and if they can get those type guys to come in, especially if they can get them to commit early, then they'll just start with four stars before summer, and you know, it's just going to be a completely different type of class. So
yeah, if you get people like Jalen Hurd,
Jalen Hurd would be a great. I mean, that's a good. Good guy. They got a lot of ground to make up with him. Ohio State's on him, and you know, the crybaby Urban Meyer. That's what I love. He's over there whining and complaining. You know, there's no way Tennessee can be recruiting against us. They've got to be doing something. And then he cries his way to, you know, to Von Bell signing with them. So, congrats, buddy. Go have a heart attack.
I love it.
All right.
So, I mean, do y'all have any? I mean, obviously, Ole Miss was a winner. I mean, is there any other classes out there that you thought, you know?
Well,
I mean, obviously, Alabama, I've got Florida.
I would say Alabama's a winner. Here's why they're a winner. They get running backs. They've got T.J. Yeldon at running back, who's going to be a sophomore next year. So he's going to be there for two more years. And that's right. And not to mention they've got Derrick Henry committed, and they've got that Tenpenny kid committed, and they've got another running back committed, and then Alvin Kamara, he's like, well, you know, I want to play running back, but I'll go to Alabama and play linebacker because I'll just go to Alabama.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just incredible to me, these kids that, I mean, I I think Alabama's been very lucky that the system's kind of worked for them, and they've had that. Maybe the system does work where they've been able to have a Mark Ingram and a Trent Richardson, and now, you know, Lacey and Yeldon. Maybe they can just have every year get a running back. I don't know. I just, at some point, some of these kids are going to. I mean, it used to be that you just didn't sign three running backs because they didn't want to compete against each other. But now, apparently, at Alabama, they just don't care.
But the problem is they're all going pro. And so, you know, if you want to look at it that way, all these kids are thinking about is a paycheck. And so if that means they might have to set a year or two, but they're still going to go to the pros, does it really matter to them? Because they probably might set a year and still end up with a ring on their hand and go pro?
It should. They need to be more competitive. They don't need to be sitting. They need to be playing as freshmen.
That's right. I think Auburn had a fantastic close to theirs, which, I mean, with Alabama and what they were doing in the state and as far away as Auburn was, I mean, I think they had a really good close. And, you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, Vanderbilt had a, you know, solid top 20 class, top 25 class, and South Carolina probably had the quietest top 15 class. So it's pretty interesting how the SEC just completely dominated this year, you know, with regards to it. And there's a lot of things going on, you know, from that standpoint. And I think I saw where the kids that actually signed this year, the last time a team other than the SEC won, they were in the fifth grade. So
what do you think about the allegations that are going on now for Ole Miss being cheating with all of this? Now, so with you being
Let me ask this. This is a good time to say this. Blair, talk a little bit about Chad Bumpus's tweet that he had out there.
It was kind of interesting. He put it out there, and I think he was just kind of stirring the pot. But basically, he put a tweet out there that to all the recruits, you know, make sure that you don't take the money, because once you take the money, you got to be there. You still got to go to school. You got to be there for 3 or 5 years. So definitely go to a place that you want to be at. And a lot of people took it differently. Some people took it as Mississippi State paid him, and then some took it as he was throwing a jab at Ole Miss. And I think that's kind of what they were doing. I think he was trying to get into people's skin. And after the end of the day, he actually did an interview where he essentially said that he was offered money by other schools. He would not name who the schools were, but he was not offered money by Mississippi State. But he went to state and didn't regret anything other than he wished they had run the score up on Ole Miss in his junior year. But other than that, he said that's about the only thing he'd regretted.
Let me tell you this. I have no doubt that Chad Bumpus was paid money to go to Mississippi State. I have no doubt that Ole Miss is paying people money. You just don't say something like that. And look at all the recruiting pictures that came out. Who did they
– Oh, at Ole Miss?
Davin Bellamy up in Oregon, where he's sitting there. He's got a bong on the table and you know, five white girls, you know, sitting around him. And then the Treadwell kid at Ole Miss. Is it Treadwell or Treadwell? I can't remember.
Yeah, Treadwell.
He's got just stacks of cash, you know, sitting beside him. I mean, there's just no doubt. I mean, these kids are – everybody's cheating. It's like steroids. I'm telling you, in about 4 or 5 years, you're going to figure out that everybody's cheating, probably except Tennessee, because they can't get any players. That's my thought, at least. That's what I got in my head. But, I mean, it's just – it's ridiculous. I mean, these kids open their mouth, and I'm telling you, there's – you just don't – I mean, I don't think Chad Bumpus is smart enough to make that good of a witty joke. I mean, he probably got paid, and just like Ole Miss is paying people to come to school there too. I mean, you just don't have a number seven ranked class when you're Ole Miss. I mean, they used to be crap, and all of a sudden now the blindside coach is dominating the recruiting after 1 year. I don't get that unless you're doing something under the table. And the whole Cam Newton stuff, I mean, all that stuff, where there's smoke, there's got to be fire with this stuff.
Well, the Cam Newton, I mean, I think we can all basically, so, you know, we can kind of come to a conclusion. When you pay a kid, they actually own you. So what happened with Auburn 2 years later? Basically, all the guys laid down. So Gene Chizik got a national championship and got a nice walk-away bonus. It was worth it. They were all in.
Yeah, but, I mean, look at it. I mean, there's allegations that Mississippi State offered him money, too. I'm not trying to dog Mississippi State. I'm, I'm just saying that there more than likely is some blue chips type stuff going on, and people are getting paid. I mean, that's just and it makes sense. I mean, all these, probably except for Alabama. Alabama doesn't have to pay anybody, and they can run it clean because they get paid in the NFL because everybody they touch turns to gold and gets drafted. So,
well, doesn't part of the problem really stem from the NCAA and their just inability to handle this correctly? I mean, look what they've done down in Miami. I mean, you talk about just a shipwreck down there.
Yeah. And, I mean, you get Yahoo, basically hands it to them on a silver platter and just basically tells you don't screw it up, and they screw it up.
Yeah, I mean, Shapiro basically did everything that Yahoo said he did, but yet Miami's basically getting off with not going to the bowl this year, and that's all they're going to get for all of that.
Yeah.
Well, it goes to show you that you can pay players and you can do all this underhanded stuff, but what you can't do is have a barbecue and lie to the NCAA. So,
just don't lie. You can cheat all you want. Just do not lie.
You can take ACTs for people, but just don't have
that.
Are you trying to insinuate something up
north
there?
Are you trying to segue over into the basketball talk?
That's it. I'm trying to say John Calipari is a much smarter cheater than Bruce Pearl was. And now Tennessee's stuck with a coach that runs the most boring offense, if you can even call it offense.
Scoring in the SEC in general is just awful this year. Nobody.
Well, you know the thing, you know, Drew. I'll be honest with you guys. You know, I play basketball, and college. We can get on a whole other topic about college basketball that I have a whole soapbox on right now, because it's basically it's the destruction of AAU basketball, and I can just go on for days. Basically, it's more about the number of games you play than actually the fundamentals. So kids can't shoot, they can't pass, they can't do anything. That's why John Calipari wins, because he's got a dribble drive offense that basically says, hey, you just drive it, because that's all you know how to do and react. He's coaching
with what he has, is what you're saying.
Do what?
He's able to coach with what's out there. He's taking what those players are able to do and make the best out of that.
Sure. basically, I'm watching Tennessee, Georgia last night. And you tell me this, Drew, am I correct? Caldwell Pope, or whatever his freaking name is.
Yeah.
Do you know what the point differential is between his points per game and the second leading scorer on Georgia's team is?
I have no idea.
It's over 10 points a game, the differential between how many points he scores and the next leading scorer. How in the world do you allow that kid to, you know, yeah, he made tough shots, but you can't let him have the ball. Let somebody else win. Let somebody have the ball. I didn't understand it. And, I mean, and I know you miss Maven, and I know he helps you bring the ball up, and he's a point forward. And I think he did a lot of things for you, man, but good gravy.
Well, I think it's tough. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think the reason that John Calipari's been winning with Kentucky, and the reason they're not as good this year, is because they've had the best point guard in the nation the last, like, 5 years. And right now with college basketball and creating and not having those shooters, the teams that have those point guards are really, really at an advantage. And Tennessee is playing point guard right now. They have two options, or they've got about three options, actually. Option number one is Trey Golden, who's a two guard, is no more point guard than you are, Blair.
Yeah.
Option number two was Jordan McRae, and they actually was probably better with that, and he's like a 2/3 player that can't even handle the ball and turns it over too much, so they had to take him out. Well, who are they using now? They're using a kid named Lopez that's a walk-on. How in the world does the University of Tennessee have to have a walk-on as their point guard? And it's okay if a walk-on's good, but he's not good. So
they've
got – I just don't understand how – that's what I tweeted out earlier. If Aaron Kraft had a – just, you know, if Tennessee could have held on to Aaron Kraft, then one, they'd have, you know, a top five point guard in the nation, and two, they'd still have, you know, a top 10 coach in the nation, too, because I'm sure that stuff wouldn't have leaked out. I'm like, damn, man, that was close. I mean, they could have kept him, and they'd have been fine. But that's what I think Tennessee, their glaring problem is not only, losing Maimon hurts, but the other factor is they have no point guard. And guess what, Blair? They didn't sign one in this class either, so. You know, that's the problem with Tennessee, is they keep getting these five-star kids that play the four, and you know they're slashers, but without somebody to run your offense, then you're kind of in trouble.
Anything? I'm just looking at the schedule because I was thinking that Kentucky had Florida next, and I was a little. It just hit me that, you know, I'd hate to see Florida right after a loss, but I just noticed that it's Auburn, so I'm feeling a little better right now.
Yeah, we got Florida.
Okay. Sorry for you.
We'll take that 30-point drubbing for you. Get them warmed up.
So it's I know they've got Florida coming up twice and once pretty soon here.
Well, Drew, you could be you know, you talk about a starting point guard that's a walk-on. Mississippi State has a walk-on that averages 20 minutes a game, and 2 years ago he actually was basically playing against the girls' basketball team as a scrub practice player. So we have like seven bodies, but I like our coach.
Well, and that's just kind of – you all are hinting to some of the problems that the SEC in general has with their basketball program. I mean, how does – when we talked about this, I think me and you, Drew, last week, how many teams are going to be able to make the tournament? And when you have that week of recruiting and depth on your program, it doesn't take – you know, a couple more of those teams to happen. You know, a team that was pretty good to have those down years, and all of a sudden you're going to struggle to get three, four teams in the tournament. And we're talking about a 14-team league right now.
Yeah, and the good thing about the SEC this year is they are terrible, but everybody else is terrible. The bubble is so weak, it's not even funny. So if you look around the SEC, you got four teams that are going. You got Kentucky, and you got Missouri, and you got Florida, and you got Ole Miss. I mean, they're going to the NCAA tournament. But, I mean, you got, you know, Alabama was winning, you know, had won four games in a row, and then they lose to Auburn the other night. And Arkansas wins four games in a row, and they're 500 in the lead. If you can get one of these other teams that can kind of get on a streak here, because, you know, between – when you take those kind of – top four, there's about eight of them that are all about the same.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at that, you know, right now Alabama has a better SEC record than Missouri.
Yeah, Missouri would be all right just because of they'll get their guys back. But you know, Alabama, I mean, that's a bad loss they had the other night. I mean, they barely can get to 30 points, I think. And then you know, the other one, Georgia. I mean, Georgia's what, won four in a row, and you know, they kind of get a little bit ahead of steam here. So the problem is that you got everybody becoming the number one team in the country, and they get their tails kicked. I mean, Indiana gets beaten tonight on a last second shot by Illinois. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's going to be interesting. I'm actually interested to go to the SEC tournament because I think it'll actually be a good tournament from the standpoint of I think it's going to be pretty competitive outside of Florida. But we'll see.
Well, I want to put Kentucky back up there. I mean, they've made huge strides over the last 4 to 6 weeks in their play and their ability to finish some games. So, and I won't give it all to Florida just yet. But they're good.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say they're not. But
yeah, I mean, the problem is you have Florida do what they did against Arkansas the other night, and it just puzzles you. You know, it's just one of those deals. I think Kentucky, Missouri, and Ole Miss are kind of fighting for that next level. I mean, Florida, I think, is going to pretty much take it. But Kentucky struggles too much with the point guard play. But they've got a guy that just erases everything. And, you know, I mean, and then they have a good game against Ole Miss. You know, they came and played in Poitras and Wilcher when they can get, you know, assertive.
And Goodwin.
And Goodwin can stay under control. They're good.
Yeah, you've got
really
three guys there that can be inconsistent, and if you can get those guys all on somewhat of the same – I'll just say the same chapter. They don't even have to be on the same page. If you get them in the same chapter, you know, you've got a Kentucky program that's starting to put things together and play well. But it is going to take those type of performances against Florida. I think that – even Tennessee, as bad as Tennessee is, I think we still have Tennessee at Knoxville. Is that correct, Drew?
Yes.
And that's just always been a tough place for Kentucky to play. The good news for Kentucky is that there might be a lot of empty seats and it might be quieter than they're used to. So that might play well for Kentucky this season. But, you know, they've got a shot. They've got, you know, if they can split against Florida, I think they've got South Carolina still one more time. They can pull that off. They've got some good chances there to finish that season strong and you know, be where they need to be come March. So, I'll bring it back around to football. You know, I'll take a top 30 for a Kentucky program. You talk about a program that last year, and I want to rebut a little bit. I mean, because it can be done in just a year or a couple months. I mean, you look at a Kentucky program, last year they were in the 60s. I mean, I think they were 60th in the rankings. To turn around and get, you know, top 28 in one of them, in the composite, I think, the 24/7 composite, I'm like you, Blair. I really like how they could compare all of them and bring them together. They're inside the top 30 for a football program that was struggling to be in the top 60 last year. A coach that came in, you know, with just a month or two himself to make some headway into the recruiting arena. You know, it doesn't take that long to make some of those huge strides. And, you know, 13th in the SEC out of 14 teams is not anything to shake a stick at. But, you know, you compare that statistic I saw, Kentucky's recruiting class was, I think, better than five other conferences' top teams.
Yeah.
You know, you look at that and like all but two of the Big Ten. So you take that and you look at how that compares to everybody else in the country. You know, it just says how strong the competition is, A, in the SEC, and B, how level that playing field is. And you know, the other thing is how many of these three-star players that all these programs have could really be a four-star player if they were graded differently. And it's that, I think over the last two or three years, that number's gotten better because there's so many sites out there with 247 and Rivals and ESPN putting so much weight into this recruiting. You're not going to get as many sleepers, but I mean, Mississippi State stole one, you know, and that was only because they were able to realize that talent before everybody else was. Have that conversation with him early, stick with him, and that's what won that, you know, that recruiting battle. And so there's still a few of those players out there. You know, I mean, Rivals, I think, is the one that today admitted that, you know, they totally missed their grade on Manziel. And so, you know, you still have those opportunities out there to find that right person and him be not graded as well in these rankings, but still be somebody that can carry your team. So, anything there? Is it, y'all agree with me so much that there's silence on the other end? Is that what it is?
Exactly right, man.
I think Mark Stoops did excellent work. I mean, I think he attacked it smarter than a lot of people do at Kentucky. He went into Ohio, got into that Midwest, and went and competed against Big Ten teams instead of SEC teams. And then instead of going into Alabama and Mississippi and Louisiana, he drove down and dipped into Florida, where he's from. You know, got, I think, seven or eight kids from there. So I think it's a pretty good strategy from that standpoint of, you know, deals. And it's pretty interesting, you know, because it's interesting to watch classes and watch other teams, because I followed a lot. I mean, I watched Auburn and kind of what they did, kind of paid attention to Alabama. One of the things that's interesting about Mississippi State is Dan Mullen's mantra is basically dominate in state. And this year we had 13 kids from outside the state that we signed. We only signed eight kids from Mississippi. And his whole reasoning behind it was the in-school states are more competitive now about it, about the in-state schools kids, but our profile has risen in the 4 years that he's been there to where people know about Mississippi State, you know, across the Southeast, and it's more of a brand name to them.
Yeah, if you're winning the state
again. So now you can go get that kid that, you know, we flip a four-star wide receiver out of Tyler, Texas, that's committed to Oklahoma State for 10 months.
Yeah, it doesn't do you any good to win the state if it's all three-star players.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's great to say you won the state, but, you know, if it's all three and one or two four-star players because of that, and you've left all those other players out there, some of those four and a possible five-star player in another state, you've done yourself a disservice. But,
yeah,
you know, the reverse.
I think that's the thing that Tennessee has got to build on. I think there's more quality. I think there's 10, 11, 12 kids that are in the state of Tennessee that can play at Tennessee or should be able to play in the SEC. And I think Tennessee's got to dominate that. I mean, Vanderbilt is there, but, you know, you got to be able to go into Memphis and you got to be able to go into Nashville. You got to be able to get those kids. And I think Jones is really made a concerted effort. I mean, I've heard him more on the radio in Nashville than I heard any time of Fulmer in his last 3 years or even Derek Dooley the 3 years he was there. They made bad mistakes with trying to communicate with the rest of the state and just kind of hovered in that East Tennessee world. And I think they're opening up to that.
And I think Tennessee's making a huge effort in that. I mean, the way I understand it, he's got all his assistants have a portion of the state of Tennessee that they have to recruit in now. So, you know, I think that battle's is going to be fought, and I think Tennessee's going to win a lot of those battles because of that, that extra attention that's going to be given inside the state. I mean, Stoops proved that in Kentucky by stealing Hatcher away from USC and Louisville. I mean, granted, Louisville wasn't much of the conversation, but, I mean, that's his home city. And to have a program like Louisville in your backyard and not be, you know, basically heavily recruited for them, you know, that's what you're going to have to do is find those best prospects inside the state and keep a few of those and then get the rest from the other states. That's the only way you're going to do it if you're a Tennessee, a Mississippi, a Kentucky, even Missouri for that matter. I mean, you're not going to have a ton of programs coming to your state to recruit those players. So, you know, it makes it easier to get those.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. I think the other part, too, and I've said it before, is Tennessee's big thing is they got to win some games on the field.
Yeah.
You know, you lose seven games, I think, three out of the last 4 years, or maybe four out of the last 5 years. You know, you're just not going to – it's a much tougher sell when you've lost that many games, and it'll come. I mean – it's just they just need to see those wins. They need to, you know, they need to have beat Alabama on that last second field goal when Kiffin was there. They need to not have 15 guys on the field against LSU at LSU, and they need to not be screwed by a rule in the Music City Bowl. So I mean, they just need to have some of those things happen.
They need to have a game where they don't let a wide receiver play quarterback and beat you.
Well. No, that was actually good. They should have gotten Dooley fired a year before, but for some reason they let him stay. So,
yeah, you also don't need to start the year at Oregon and at Florida your second and third game. So,
I mean,
that sucks.
Not much you can do. You got to play Florida every year. You got to play Georgia every year. You got to play Alabama every year. You got to play South Carolina every year. That's a tough start. I mean,
Their
schedule, that's what they get every year.
Unfortunately, everybody has that. I mean, Kentucky has those same teams. They have to play Mississippi.
They don't play Alabama every year.
No, they play Mississippi State, so.
Yeah.
But Mississippi State has a big difference. But Mississippi State has Arkansas, Alabama, LSU every year. So I mean, every team in the SEC.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great point. But we all face that same battle.
Not everybody doesn't play Alabama every year and the East. I'm telling you, I mean, it's a big deal. Yeah, you
and
do.
The,
I mean,
and the East.
Your,
so you're
your,
thinking,
who's your East rival, Blair? Who's Mississippi State's East rival?
Well, the East is going to be Kentucky, but we pick up South Carolina at South Carolina this year.
Yeah, this year
we're playing.
Exactly.
We're playing Oklahoma State the first game of the year in Houston at Reliance Stadium.
Unless you're playing,
you get to play Kentucky every year.
Similar, yes. The last couple years, the West has been a little bit better having Alabama and LSU, but
and Arkansas,
A&M.
Yeah, well, this is 1 year to have Texas A&M. Yes, but I'm just telling you, there's a difference in Georgia has not had the same tough schedule Tennessee has.
Yeah, but. Georgia's not Tennessee.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know. I'm just laughing at Shane's like grin.
Well, I mean,
he's got like this big. I'm trying to screw with Drew grin on his face.
Well, maybe a little bit, but I mean,
yeah, I mean, Georgia's had the worst one. I mean, South Carolina's had a worse schedule than Tennessee for the last 2 years. They've had, you know, last year they had to play. 2 years ago, they had to play everybody but LSU, and then last year they had to play everybody but Arkansas.
I mean, who was your other West opponent this year, Drew?
Mississippi State.
And what about this upcoming season? Who is it? Do you know?
I don't know that. I don't know who that is. Probably like LSU and Texas A&M, like combined, just a split squad game.
But
maybe
see,
Arkansas. I don't know if that's right.
But see, you're given. I mean. Who is your other miss? Who's your other East program, Blair? Mississippi State's other East besides Kentucky this next year?
Next year we play at South Carolina.
So I mean, you know, if you want to make cases, I mean, Mississippi.
A lot more difficult than Tennessee at home this past year. I mean, it's a totally different deal. Like I mean, not being trying to be mean to Drew. I don't want to go to South Carolina and play with Jadon Clowney. Basically killing our quarterback. I mean, if you take Tennessee's team last year, I'll take that game in Starkville anytime than I'll ever go to freaking Columbia.
You're looking at the last couple of years history. I mean, maybe last year, but not, I don't know. I'm not saying that anybody in the SEC has it easy. I'm just telling you, if you're in the East and you're full-time every year rival is Alabama, that's the worst case scenario.
It is.
Yeah. But I mean, it doesn't mean, but
and
more than
had going to Oregon on top of,
yeah,
it.
Yeah. You want to get into schedules. I'm telling you, you pick any team in the country, I'll go head to head and say Tennessee's got as tough a schedule as anybody.
Oh man.
I'm just,
but that's Tennessee's own fault. I mean, they should just get out of the SEC then if they can't play it, I guess.
Well, they can't balance a checkbook up there either.
Oh.
Well, that's the problem is, for some reason, Tennessee has a president that thinks the most important thing is giving back to academics. And, I mean, that was a problem is Tennessee's – it's not that they didn't make any money. I mean, they didn't make as much money, but they're giving $16 million to the academics. Nobody else does that.
Yeah.
Just let's quit doing that. The academics should be giving the football team. Make me the athletic director, or give me, you know, the athletic director of Tennessee. Tomorrow, I announce that Bruce Pearl will be coming back as coach as soon as his 3-year show cause is up. And my very first phone call is to Nick Saban and say, you know, Coach Saban, how does 5 years, $100 million sound? And I guarantee you I can get 100,000 Tennessee fans to donate $1,000 to my athletic fund to be able to do that.
And academics wouldn't have to pay a penny, would they?
Not a single one.
And you'd make up your concessions and be able to pay back all that debt in 2 years.
And in 3 years, I'll pay you back. I'll pay that money back to you. You get 50% of whatever we make more than we've made over the last 3 years, and you'd make it up. I know it sounds ridiculous, but that's what I'm going to do right now.
Well, guys, you remember when Alabama hired him and paid him $4 million, and everybody thought he was crazy.
And yeah, exactly.
And now they're 75 plus million in the reserves. It paid itself.
I agree. Got to be forward thinking. You can't just sit there and be reactive. You know, you got to be proactive in this game.
So, if Saban's off the table 2 years from now, what's going to happen with your coaching situation? I mean,
I'm sure Tennessee will be hiring a new one here in about 3 years. So that's kind of our MO the last few years.
I love it, man. You're not a very happy guy, are you?
Whoa, I'm just telling you, man. Give me something to be excited about as a Tennessee fan.
You got to get another quarterback, right? That's something to be excited about.
Basketball coach. Oh, no, never mind. The winningest, you know, the winningest basketball coach in the history of men's or women's basketball has, you know, early onset dementia, you know, and has to retire 15 years too early. That's another, you know. Not obviously not making light of that. Just saying, that's another,
just kick you while you're down, right?
It just sucks to be a Tennessee fan.
I can tell you what, I'm really excited about baseball starting. I don't know about y'all, but
do they still play baseball in college?
Oh yeah, man.
That's like next week. It's this Thursday.
Heck yeah, man.
Are they using metal bats still, Blair?
Yes, they're using metal bats.
I'm still not watching them.
They're less buoyant, I guess you could say. They don't have the ping that they used to have.
Why don't they just switch to wood bats?
I have no idea.
I have no idea either. I mean, I
wood
just know.
Bats and steroids for everybody.
Yeah.
That would make it better.
All I know is I saw that they had duty draw this week, and so I was like, it's baseball time. We got a terrible basketball team. Let's go. Let's go for the College World Series. Get back there where we belong.
When was the last time Mississippi State made it to the College World Series?
Like 07.
That's not that long.
Nah, it's pretty consistent. We do it a lot.
I thought it was when Just Will saying. Clark was there.
Hmm?
I thought it was back when, like, Will Clark was there.
Yeah, man. Ron Polk took us there, gosh, forever, you know? But, yeah, Rafael Palmeiro, Will Clark, Bobby Thigpen, Jeff Brantley. That was a terrible team.
Would you think Palmeiro was juicing when he was back at Mississippi State?
Orange juice.
I don't think
maybe.
He was, but him and Will Clark had a falling out about 5 years into their professional career, and I think we all know what that had to do with, because I can think we can all say that Will Clark was a pretty natural athlete because he lasted about 7 years and fell apart like most people do. And Will, you know, Palmeiro went on for 500 home runs and
3,000 hits and in the Hall of Fame.
And a finger wag.
Yeah. So I have never taken any performance-enhancing drugs, except when I was shot up with somebody told me it was a B-12 shot?
Yeah. Hey, man, I mean, he gave us $12 million to build a nice indoor baseball and football facility, so.
So what do you care? You're fine with it, right?
Yeah, it's the Palmeiro Center, man.
They still have his name on it?
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
He still gave the money. They're not going to take it. I mean, are they going to give it back to him to take his name off?
I don't know. I bet if they had a Lance Armstrong Center, they'd change the name.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe so.
But yeah, we need to go see some baseball, man.
If you can get the same hookup we had last time, you name the time.
Pretty awesome, man. There ain't a better place to see college baseball.
Yeah, it was.
That out
like,
now.
You sit like in the middle of the outfield, don't you?
Yeah, man, left field lounge.
With a cooler and a fridge basically behind you and a grill right in front of you. And
yeah.
Beautiful ladies on either side. So it was a horrible way to watch a baseball game. I will say that.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Well, I think we're running out of things to say here. Let's wrap this thing up with some open mic. Drew, you got anything else you want to vent or tell us about?
I could tell you a lot of stuff, but I'm going to save the personal stuff for a later time when I can say more cuss words, I guess. No, I mean, I'm excited about spring break coming up. I'm a school teacher now, so that's what I look forward to, and I'm looking forward to summer break as well. This is going to be the summer of Drew again. I'll be taking many trips. I'm planning on going to the beach a couple times. Who knows? Might head out to the College World Series. You never know. I got the freedom to do it. Going to go to Cedar Point, I believe.
Let's go to Wrigley.
I'm in for that. I'm in for whatever. Just a random Thursday, somebody says, hey, we're thinking about a trip to Wrigley. Okay, that's going to be my answer. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to be like Jim Carrey in Yes Man or whatever. I'm going to say yes to everything. Hey, you want to go skydiving today? Yeah, I don't know. Nothing else to do. So that's my plan. I'm pumped about that. Southwest has a really good deal right now on flights. You can go, so in the next couple of days is when you need to be booking your flights if you're wanting to travel somewhere. I think it's like $49 anywhere within 500 miles or something, and like $99 anything within 1,000 miles. So book a flight somewhere and get excited, man.
That's huge. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a good deal. It's like a Valentine's Day deal, but it's only like the next 2 days. So you know, if anybody wants to do that. But you can follow me at DrewYoung20 on Twitter. That's all I got.
All right, Blair, you got anything?
I do. I got. I'm going to piggyback on Drew's hatred for 3D movies, because my wife, a couple Saturdays ago, Bennett wanted to see Monsters, Inc. So she said it was showing at Cool Springs. I was like, sure, we'll go do that. Catch a nooner, you know? So we get there, and it's a 3D movie, which we didn't know. We weren't really paying attention. So it was $13.50 a piece for Sarah and I, $13 for Bennett. And, of course, we had
so you said a 50-cent
discount for a three-year-old.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That should be illegal, man. I don't understand 3D movies. It's like, let's make the experience less enjoyable and charge more.
Yeah. It was like $75 for us to go see the movies. It was like I think it was $25 for the $65. $25 for a medium popcorn and two medium drinks and a snack pack for a kid, and then $40 to see the movie. I mean, my face was boiling.
It doesn't make any sense. I'm telling you, 3D makes no sense.
And this is a movie that's been out for, 15 years? 10
that's
years?
The funny thing, too, is you pay $65 for something that you could have honestly gone to a Redbox, got it for 99 cents, bought a bag of Orville Redenbacher's, a three-pack of popcorn for $2.99.
Movie extra butter popcorn.
Big K Cola for 99 cents. You're out the door for $6.
Oh,
and you spent 60.
And you
wouldn't have had to watch it in stupid 3D.
Well, you could have probably bought it on Amazon for what you paid for one ticket.
Have any of y'all seen the what is it, Zero Dark Thirty?
I'd like to see it. I haven't seen it.
No, have not.
I saw it. It's good.
Good movie.
It was long. It was 2 hours and 40 minutes. But it was 2 hours of kind of a build up to kind of what actually happened. So it was pretty good.
What's the point? At what point will y'all quit going to the movie because it's too expensive? I remember when tickets used to be like $7, and they went to $7.50, and then there was a big jump to like $9, and we were like, if it ever gets over 10, screw this, we're not going anymore. And then it gets to 10, and then of course now they're just like, damn, these guys are paying $10, let's charge them 13. You know, so what's the price?
I mean, the problem is, I don't go to a lot of movies to begin with, but I remember going and seeing Rocky IV when I was like 10 or whenever it was with my cousins in Atlanta, Georgia, and it was like $7, which was insane, man.
Was that Tommy Gunn Morrison?
Yeah. That was the AIDS riddled Tommy Gunn.
Yeah, and so it was just, it was kind of crazy, but I don't know, man. I mean, I don't go to a lot of movies, and after that experience, I sure as heck won't be going to do any of that crap anymore, that's for sure.
My thought is I just pull a Drew and get it for half price because I just go to two movies. Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, if you do that, you're
like four movies now.
Well,
yeah.
If you catch a Drew double feature, I mean, $13.50, that's what, $6.25 a movie? $6.75 a movie? That's not bad.
Yeah. It is. It's just to the point where it's ridiculous. I mean, what is it, though, Shane? If you go to the movie every once in a while, right?
If it's a kid's movie, I take my daughter, yeah.
You and Haley never go to the movie just on a date or anything like that?
Mm-hmm. What's a date?
Yeah.
Where you go out with adults and spend time?
Oh,
yeah, that never happens.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Y'all are, that's your problem. I mean, $20. Are you going to just quit? Would you pay $20 to get in, or would you just say, no, sorry, Bennett, we can't let you go see this?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Got to be a co-op.
I'll go, hey, dude, you want to watch The Jungle Book on the computer? He's like, yeah.
He doesn't care anyway. Yeah, that's a good point. Just give him your iPad and let him have a ball.
I mean, there's probably going to come a point, but at that point, you know, the kids are going to be older, and you're going to want to go see the movie too. So, you know,
I'm just sitting there going, hey, dude, what if you have a kid right now that's 16 years old and he's trying to take a girl out on a date? You can give him $100 and he's not going to have enough money. go out to, you know,
P.F. Chang's.
You need to go buy him a box of condoms and tell him to go to a church parking lot somewhere.
Give him your Hilton Honors rewards card.
Yeah, exactly.
I got some Hilton points you could borrow.
Now, that's exactly what you need. Double bag it up, you know, be sure. There's $4 to buy you some Trojans. go buy you some Boone's Farm. You know, a pack of Black and Mild.
Black and Mild, was what you say.
Yeah. And a box of condoms and go have fun. That's it. That's the idea. That's what you need to do, guys.
Yeah. I know Drew's got kids.
Yes, after that. Yeah.
Is that not a good parenting technique or?
Depends on who you ask.
Yeah, that's true.
It's cheaper.
Less mistakes, right? You're just helping them make smart decisions by.
They're gonna make that decision anyway, Shane. You just make that decision smarter.
That's right.
You can regulate it. It's like legalizing marijuana and gambling and stuff like that.
Speaking of that, are we ready to
They're
move
gonna
to
do it anyway? We might as well regulate it.
We ready to move to Colorado or was it Washington? Is that the other state?
Both of those states legalized it.
Legalized, and I didn't realize that till just recently that they didn't just legalize it, but they legalized recreational use.
Yeah.
So, good for them. I mean, that could solve a lot of tax issues. I mean, we want to get rid of the recession.
Tax the hell out of it. Make it legal, but tax it.
You want to end the recession?
To like cigarettes. I mean, how anybody could still smoke and pay for it, I have no idea.
That's what cracks me up is you got all these poor people that are smoking still, and it's like $4 a pack.
Yeah,
and that's for the cheap generics too, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's for some Pall Malls.
Some American cut. No, like Camels are high end.
Camel, you better be a millionaire.
I mean, you're talking like American Century or something like that. Okay.
American
Spirit.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but
some Durals.
Get the 110, the 110s or the 120s. Is that right?
Yeah.
So
when are we going to the new brewery over there at Cool Springs? Granite
City.
Yeah, man.
Now open. Ready to go. Maybe we can
I got to go fill up my Cool Springs Brewery growler tomorrow.
Maybe we can talk them into letting us do a remote from there. How's that?
That'd be awesome.
Quick shout out to
great content.
Yeah.
Shout out
to McDougal's Chicken in Nolensville opening up on Sunday.
Nice, because they shut down in Cool Springs.
I know. I can't wait. I'm putting on 100 pounds.
I hate McDougal's.
That stuff's good.
It's terrible.
It was good when they gave you free sauce.
They still give you free sauce. They just don't want you to pump it yourself. You can go get as much as you want up there. Yeah. You just feel bad about saying, can I have 7 honeybee sauces or whatever.
But
you used to be able to. That was what's bad is when I could pump the sauce myself, I would get like 20 different sauces, and not feel bad. But now you got to ask for it. So
yeah, I mean, for those that have no idea what McDougal's is, it's a chicken finger joint, and just like the McDonald's ketchup dispenser that you get to pump, they had what 20 different types of sauces basically.
Yeah.
Just set out there for your just enjoyment, and so mix and match, and get tired of one, go get another kind of thing. And it was great. And then they pulled them behind the counter. It's kind of like the Playboys when you were younger. They used to be, up there so you could peruse them. Now they put them behind the counter so you had to ask.
Put them in plastic, man.
That's right. All right, guys, we're going to end it on this one. What do you think?
I want to hear more of Drew's church parking lot stories.
That's for the next podcast.
All right.
And with that, we're going to call this podcast done.